There he is. I was waiting to hear the woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo from Mason. There he is. How you doing, Mace?
Everything is good, man. Starting to feel back to 100%. I'm getting there.
I'll
be back
good.
In the studio on Monday. Yeah, no, I'm geared up, ready for a big show.
John, do you observe the Ricky Davis triple-double holiday as Andy and I do?
I remember when it happened. Is this the anniversary of it today?
It's his birthday.
Oh, it's Ricky Davis' birthday today? Yeah, Andy, I have to admit, I didn't know that didn't count. I thought they gave him the triple-double.
I thought they gave it to him also.
I think it got removed once everybody figured out exactly. Like, wait a minute. He just did what? I don't think the triple-double actually counted.
That's a shame.
And so that would have been his only career triple-double?
I will look this up right now. BasketballReference.com.
You know, here's a great stat. You know, James Worthy has one career triple-double.
It's in the playoffs,
Game
right?
7 of the 88 NBA Finals against Detroit. That's a good time to get it. If you're going
to
do it, do it in Game 7
of the
Finals.
That's the year he won Finals MVP, right?
Yeah.
You, John, you've covered a million games. Have you ever seen anything where it's just like, wait, what is that guy doing right now? Like, just something that is so brazenly selfish like that. We've seen guys just shoot indiscriminately and everything, but something that's Ricky Davis adjacent?
Many people claim... I didn't see it, but I know many people that, you know, Michael used to work for the Wolves. Trudell used to work for the Wolves. They claim that early Kevin Love in his first 5 years in the league would simply stand under the basket to collect rebounds regardless of what was going on in the game. Like he would turn and miss a shot on purpose so he could get his own rebound and put it back in. He was accused of stat mongering, but I've never heard anybody prove it.
But at least Kevin Love was a really good NBA player.
Right.
Right. Like he was doing a lot of things.
He
on
wanted
the court.
To average a double-double, so he did.
You have any famous or favorite, I should say, Mace, just weird moments where guys are doing stuff like Ricky Davis?
You mean purely for the stats?
Just purely selfish, because what's weird, it's just a triple-double. It's not the one that gave him 100 in his career or broke a record. It's just that, you know what, I got 9 rebounds tonight.
Yeah.
I want one. I'm going to do it.
Individual. Was winning a Mandy like that?
Maybe.
You're asking the wrong guy if you're asking Travis.
You'd have to answer that. I don't know, guys.
Really?
Yeah, little like that, I would say.
Although, Trav, I heard you tell your tattoo story earlier in the day.
Trav's got a tattoo?
I do.
He does. Do any of your children have tattoos?
Not that I know of. I don't think so.
Okay, so have you guys ever heard the Tim Russert story about this?
No.
All right, so Tim Russert was extremely close with his dad, as was Tim's son, Luke. They called his dad Big Russ,
okay,
who was like this tornado of a personality that kind of shaped their family and sent Tim down the road of being an NBC News correspondent and was very close with Luke. And so Tim wrote a book before he died about fatherhood, and he called it Me and Big Russ, because his dad did basically all the stuff that his dad taught him. And he told a story that, it's interesting the way you answered that when I said, do any of your kids have tattoos? And you said, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So Tim said, because I had a very good father, I took a lot of pride in making sure that I communicated to Luke, my son, look, when you're going to make major decisions, like if you ever decide to get a tattoo, just let's talk about it first. We have the type of relationship where you're talking about. So one day, Tim Russert comes home and Luke's home from college, and sees him hop out of the shower, and on his back, I think this is where your tattoo is, over his shoulder,
is
a tattoo.
Okay.
And Tim is livid. And he says, Luke, come here. He said, didn't I specifically tell you that if you ever wanted to get a tattoo, that we would talk about it first, and you looked me right in the face, and you said, agreed? He goes, yeah, Dad, we did. And he said, yet, I just saw that you now have a tattoo. Is that permanent? Luke said, it is. He said, and you just decided not to tell me. He goes, I was gonna. and Tim just lays into him. Just goes, I cannot tell you how infuriating this is. Because the symbolism of this is, you don't value my opinion.
Right.
That when you have decisions to make, you don't do it. And it just lays him out. And Luke says, Dad, are you done? Because I think if I explain what it is, you'll be okay with it. And he goes, I assure you I will not. He goes, what do you want to tell me? And he turns around, and on his back, it says BR, which stands for Big Russ.
Right.
He said, when Grandpa died, I wanted him always to be looking over my shoulder, so I tattooed BR on my shoulder. And Tim started crying and walked out of the room and said, that's the last time I yelled at my son.
I was waiting. I'm like, I will need to know what this tattoo was, right? Because mine is not nearly something as beautiful
as
that.
Yeah, I don't know about yours. What is yours?
So I've never really said it out loud. I've always kind of left
How
it at
old
this.
Were you when you got it?
21. I got it on my 21st birthday.
Okay.
Yeah. And I actually have a story about my dad and the tattoo that I could, because Mace, you know, when I did the Culture Pop podcast, Mace, you remember.
By the way, I listened to that yesterday and I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Well, I encourage people to listen to it. Travis is the, Mace, it's still the current episode of
Culture
Pop.
Still the current
episode
of the Culture Pop podcast. Yeah. Travis comes off as the nicest guy in the world.
Well, comes off as.
No. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think your relationship with your dad is very similar to the one I had with mine. I lost mine in 2017.
It's really nice.
Yeah. So,
and particularly I love the stuff you said about your dad.
Well, that's what I was getting at is, you know, I hold my dad in incredibly high regard.
Yeah, I think
he's a wonderful guy. I think about him every single day and I wonder what my dad would do in this situation. It's just that he made that imprint on me, and not in a, I don't want to
disappoint.
He gave
you a guiding light.
Yeah. And not in a, I'm afraid. It's like, I think he made really good choices. I'd like to try to model myself after a lot of the choices he made. So go back. I get my tattoo on my 21st birthday. It's the world's worst tattoo.
Okay.
It was $25.
Okay.
It was just awful.
With tax.
So I get this thing and literally I immediately regret it.
Were you with friends?
Me and a teammate of mine at Santa Barbara. We got.
So you're pitching at Santa Barbara at this point in your life.
We got.
What was it, like a baseball or UCSB logo or what?
You're very, very warm, Mace. Like I've always said, if somebody guesses what it is, I will say yes, but that's close, but not exactly. Right.
Okay.
So anyway, I get this stupid tattoo and I end up hurting my back. Okay. This is a year or two later. And my parents have no idea I have this tattoo. And I end up having to get a back surgery.
Okay.
Okay. And so my dad takes some time off of work and he goes to the hospital with me. And it wasn't like I had a chronic back injury that needed to be fixed. And so we're sitting there.
Like lower back injury for you. And your tattoo's on your upper back.
On my upper butt. So you go to the hospital and they're getting you ready. You have to put on that gown, right? Yep. So my dad's in the room with me and I realize.
He's going to see it.
I have to say something.
Right.
And I said to him, this has been a couple of years. And I'm 23 years old. It's not like I'm 16. I said, this is kind of embarrassing, but I got this really stupid tattoo a couple of years ago. And he goes, well, let me see it. And I show it to him, and he goes, that's pretty stupid. and that was it. That was it. Not like I'm super disappointed, but it's just like, it's pretty stupid.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And that was it. So,
Well, you guys, I don't know if you've heard this. My wife pulled the ultimate bait and switch on Mason when it comes to tattoos.
Okay.
So, Mace, for whatever reason, always wanted to get tattoos, but
this is my 50th birthday. I thought
he was hesitant to pull the trigger
tattoo.
For a lot of years, and he just decided, well, I'm nervous about it, but I'm going to do it. And he's going to go get like a pretty decent sized tattoo on his left chest.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's about 3 inches by 3 inches.
Yeah, which is bigger than you think.
Yeah.
And Lisa, my wife, says, we were out with Juan and Mace, and my wife says, you know, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it. I've always wanted to get a tattoo, and I've always been too nervous. And if you're nervous, let's do it together, and it'll give each other, we'll get some liquid courage, and we'll go in there and do it. So Mace gets ready, and they do a couple of shots, and Mace does the things that Mace does to get prepared for it. And
herbal remedy.
Yeah. And so Lisa and Mace goes in, and the tattoo guy, right over by Mace's house in Venice, and they go in and they say to Mason and Lisa, are you ready? And Mace goes, yes, we're ready. He goes, okay, who's going first? Mace goes, I'll do it. I'll go first. And Mace gets in the chair, and he gives them the drawing, and came out pretty good, actually. And he does the tattoo. And Lisa,
hurts like hell.
When
they tell you it doesn't hurt, it hurts like hell.
And when it starts going, Mason goes, God, that's kind of painful, whatever. And Lisa goes, all right, well, I gotta go now, or I'm not going to go, so I'll go. So she gets in the other chair. And about, 10 minutes later, Lisa pops out of the chair, and Mason goes, did you back out? And she goes, no, I'm done. Mason goes, "You're done. What'd you get?" And I'm not, Mason will back me up on this, I'm not exaggerating.
No.
She got a dragonfly that is smaller than a dime.
And it's skin colored. Yeah. So you can barely even, yeah, it's like is, a skin is, colored
it
dragonfly.
Not, it isn't sticking your toe in the pool. It's like barely touching it, and zipping it back.
Skimming it across the top.
In the meantime, Mason is now needle deep in this.
Bloody.
Oh, God. And it's, and Mason, weren't you there for like another 45 minutes?
Oh, yeah. No, it took a while to ink this thing up, man. And Lisa, meanwhile, goes next door with you, and you have another few libations with Juan, and I'm still in the chair.
And I'm like, you know, you, Lisa, you presented this as like a, you were going to take this on together. It was a joint effort. And
let's
you,
do this, Mace.
You basically showed Mason to the door and said, see ya.
That's amazing. Are you happy you did it, Mace? Are you pleased?
I love my tattoo. It's right on my heart. It's it's Ganesh. It's the Hindu elephant god. It's remover of obstacles. It's right over my heart. I love it.
Andy, do you have any?
I have one.
One?
It says inner strength in Chinese characters.
Okay.
Yeah,
where,
are you sure?
Where is it?
Well, it either says,
sure?
It either says inner strength or naive white guy. One or the other.
Yeah, I always worry about the Chinese characters because I don't know what they say and you could get something.
I did a lot of research on this. I went to a friend of Brian's who speaks fluent Mandarin. Like, I did more research for this tattoo than like 4 years of college combined. Like, I did a lot because, again, you don't want to get the wrong thing.
Yeah,
I have learned since other people have seen it that there may not be a true direct translation to inner strength. Like, it might mean to some people strength from within, something like that.
No, but I think that's close enough.
I've been told by enough people, no, this is correct.
Well, you guys know who has 7 or 8 tattoos.
Bergman.
Yeah.
No, yeah, he's
Bergman's
got a few.
Like,
yeah,
he's got a Vin Scully tattoo. Yeah,
Taylor's got a couple.
Yeah.
I always think about getting another one.
John, you don't have any.
Never will.
I'm going to get one. I got one for my 50th birthday. I'm going to get one for my 60th birthday.
You're not getting a matching dragonfly with Lisa?
No, I'm not
going to get a skin-colored dragonfly on my baby toe.
Yeah, it's so small that you, like, unless you're looking, you wouldn't see
it. I will say this, though. A toe, at least that's a sensitive area.
Yeah, well, mine is so bad that, again, it's been nearly 30 years.
What, you have like a back alley tattoo?
It was a prison
tattoo?
You got what you paid for? Was it $25 special?
Exactly. It was, Mace, it was a tattoo parlor in Isla Vista, California that I think was in business for maybe a couple of months before it went out.
If you were in Isla Vista, you were drunk.
Oh, no, like I said, it's my 21st birthday. It oddly was the same night that Riddick Bowe and Evander Holyfield, it was the guy with the parachute that jumped into the ring.
Right.
It was
Fan Man.
So it was that whatever day, that November 22nd, so 1992, I guess it would be.
The day that will live in infamy.
That's right. So, and me and my buddy Antonio Vernon were like, hey, you know what we should do? We should go get some tattoos. And this is, I forgot this part of the story. This is how stupid I was, that I had been drinking and I had been making bad choices that night, but I was out of money. Okay, I'd like out of cash.
Right.
Okay. So we go to the tattoo place. Guy's like, no, man, you can't put it. It's cash only. This,
of course it is.
I left, went to the ATM in Isla Vista.
Doubled down and then came back
to get the $25 tattoo. The good news is now, if you didn't know where to look, you probably wouldn't see it. It looks like a bruise at this point because it was such a terrible tattoo. But yeah, it's pretty embarrassing.
Was it Malik Monk, Andy, that has full sleeve on his left arm?
No, Nick Young.
Nick Young.
None on his right. No. Malik stole it from Nick.
Oh, did he?
Malik is the same idea.
Yes, then you're correct.
Because he says the right arm is only for buckets.
Nick Young actually eventually did get some tattoos on his right arm. I remember being worried about him heading into that season. I was like, has Nick Young just given up?
In general, you would tend to worry about Nick anyway. But
he just started boxing.
Right.
Oh,
once,
God.
Yeah, once
I saw the fight. Spectacle.
Yeah, he got his ass kicked.
Yeah, he did not look like he had put in. I mean, he looked okay physically, but he did not look like he knew how to like fight, like real fighting is
when
very
do we
different
get over
than
this?
Fighting.
This let's just grab somebody, throw him in a ring, and watch him beat.
Well,
get that, the
that's
beat
the thing.
Yeah,
didn't Le'Veon Bell like basically beat the crap out of
Adrian Peterson?
Last week?
He just dropped him with a punch, and Adrian Peterson
was
like a piece
of
granite.
Nate Robinson who got dropped like a
by one of the Paul, the Jake Paul or Paul Jake or whoever, whatever that guy's name is. There's nothing interesting about watching people that don't know how to fight unless it's like in the kitchen, right? Like if, like Max would always say, right? If I told you, you know, Bob and Jim are fighting in the kitchen, you'd run down there to see it. But in a ring, in an arena with people on TV, people that don't know how to fight is terrible to watch.
It's pretty uninteresting. It's also you look at, like, I remember Lamar Odom briefly did like
Lamar
a box.
Odom. It's like the last chance saloon of fame.
I was just going to say, when I see something like this happen 99 out of 100 times, it just makes me feel sad.
Yeah, bumps
yeah
you
I do. I feel empathetic about it because that's a terrible way to go out.
That and Isla Vista tattoo parlors are at the very bottom of the barrel. Mason and Ireland coming up next. See you on Monday.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, guys, I'm not hearing program, just as an advisory there.
Didn't you hear me?
You didn't hear any of the open?
No, I did not hear any of Chris Morales'
no.
Rejoin.
Oh, it was basically, it just made fun of you.
The whole time.
What's wrong with me?
You posted some picture in a jacuzzi.
Oh, yeah, I put out a picture of me in a jacuzzi last night.
Yeah, well,
no different from when you did an entire late-night happy hour in the jacuzzi.
With Reagan the dog, yeah. I didn't post it, though.
It was out there.
They were entertained by Morales has accused you of posting thirst traps.
It was very
that
much
is
a thirst
not
trap.
What is a thirst trap? That's not a thirst trap.
Yeah, he said you're
I'm
very
not trying
thirsty.
To trap any thirst.
Yeah.
Yes, do that.
Yeah. See, you know, these whole things, the Mason and Ireland Mafia, the Circle of Trust, see, they can't help but go negative.
No, no, no. The Mason and Ireland Mafia
they're
is
mocking
not
you.
Negative.
Oh, it's negative. I checked.
They're
I checked
goofing.
In there.
Yeah. I'm in the Mafia right now. There's nothing
okay.
negative.
You can have it.
Yeah, I'm taking. Okay. My friends in the Mafia are going to be good. There's nothing negative in the Mafia. Bergman, is there any hate spewing in the Mafia?
Not really. I mean, I'm trying to look through it right now. I don't see anything that's
yeah. I don't
bad.
See anything. Now, I do think that's a great photo of me. And in fact, Lindsay. Lindsay texted me during the show yesterday and said, Mace, you look so young in that picture. I'm like, well, thank you, Lindsay. Thank you for noticing.
See, I think that you posted that video, that picture, because you wanted people to think you were better looking than Ireland.
I'll tell you what, that picture is a pretty good looking picture of me right there.
How many filters did you use on
none.
That?
Oh, no none. Filters. I almost put hashtag no filter. I don't use, I don't even
I don't
know
even
how,
know how to
filters.
Use a filter.
I think you just
do
swipe.
I look so good that you think I used a filter?
I mean, look, it's a good picture.
That's great if you do.
It's a good picture, but I mean... You were looking for something there. That wasn't a picture of just like, I'm just going to post a picture of myself right now.
I have news for you. It was exactly that. I am just going to post a picture of myself right now, so I give Chris Morales so. Something to say going into our show
well,
tomorrow.
It worked. what's interesting is that they immediately mock you
yes.
for posting this picture.
Yep.
I don't see, you know, I... The Scott Kaplan I know would try and one-up you.
Well, I mean, Scott Kaplan has gotten his picture taken naked with the Lombardi trophy.
Yeah. Now, I'm expecting some type of photo response from Cap before the end of the show.
Point and counterpoint.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea.
Would be good.
So, Ireland, one and done picks this week. I believe the only people who are alive, by the way.
My mom's taking a risk. I just put hers in.
Oh, yeah? Where'd she go?
Chargers.
Ooh, over.
Which may, over Jacksonville at home.
Yeah.
Which may not have Justin Herbert.
That may be the first full-on home game the Chargers have got. Jacksonville certainly doesn't travel a crowd. Although I heard Slee was saying that you can get into that game on Sunday for $15, $15 to $20.
Wow.
To go into SoFi and see that game. I'm going Kansas City over the Colts, which I think is a good strong pick. Juan is going Bengals.
Although you're picking a road team.
Yeah, and he's going Bengals over the Jets. That's also
I like
a road
your
team.
Pick better than his pick.
I just think Cincinnati's due. I don't tell him what to pick. I never try to talk anybody out of their pick. Hang on 1 second. Leave the air conditioning on. All right, that's just for one.
What the heck? What is wrong with you?
I turn the air conditioning on, he turns it off. I turn it on, he turns it off.
Yeah, but you couldn't have waited until the break to tell him that?
No, because it's warm in here.
Well, yeah, it's one way. That's one way of letting him know.
Do you ever take advantage of Matthew Berry?
By texting him
directly?
No. I'll ask him stuff when we have him on. But I figure everybody and their mother is texting him directly.
I am part of the group that includes everybody and their mother.
Yeah, I figured so. He told me the other day he got a text from Chris Pratt.
Oh, wow, that's a much bigger name.
Yeah, but I mean, he gets texts from people all the time, like big famous people. Does he respond when you text him?
He does.
So what did you what did you ask him this week?
I asked him, should I play Drake London or Alan Lazard?
Oh, something just happened.
Well, what happened?
You should play Lazard. Did you play Lazard?
So far, I haven't set my lineup. What did Lazard do?
It's not what Lazard did. It's that Sammy Watkins is out.
Oh, so now Lazard, they're going to have to lean on Lazard.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I picked up
Breshad Perriman because he's the only receiver that Tampa has left. Godwin's out. Julio Jones is questionable. Mike Evans is suspended. I mean, so...
he's got to throw to somebody.
Yeah, Russell Gage is questionable, so I'm going to play him and hope I get lucky.
Yeah, my running back core is terrible. I've got Ezekiel Elliott and Cam Akers starting on Sunday. That's rough. That's a rough way to go. Ezekiel Elliott, I'm not sure is even worth playing. I guess he gets touches, but Tony Pollard scored the touchdown last week. All right,
you're 2-0. You're doing fine.
Yesterday, we made up our minds, and we all came to this conclusion together. You, me, Bergman. When the Dodgers get to a playoff game.
Oh, I know. Oh, God.
And it is the ninth inning, and we have a narrow one-run lead. Who do you go to? We all said Kimbrel.
Can I take mine back?
I believe Dave Roberts even took it back.
Yeah, I know. I just don't have confidence in him. And now that the let it go thing has worn out.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they played it last night, and then he gave up a home run. They still won, but he gave up a homer. I'd rather have somebody else in there.
So here's what this is courtesy J.P. Hornstra. What Dave Roberts said last night, he says he stopped shy of saying Craig Kimbrel won't close anymore. This is a direct quote from Dave Roberts. The ninth inning is unlike any other inning. Having guys that finish games for us is a good thing. It's something that I'm going to think about and figure out what's best for the ball club. This is the point in time where certainly performance matters. We need our best. The stuff, and now he's talking about Kimbrel, the stuff is starting to slide a little bit. The fastball velocity, I've just got to continue to look at this. We've got to have our best guys at the back end. I'll continue to think it through. And then in a bubble above his head, it says, Craig Kimbrel's no longer the closer. That's it. It's done. He's not the closer, period. Do you agree?
I do. I think that they may try him again in this last 2 weeks to see if he can find his groove. But my guess is no, that he's not the guy. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's not the guy. Bergman, do you think he's the guy?
No, you don't say things like that.
Hang on a second. Yesterday we all said, yep, we're good with Kimbrel today. Dave Roberts,
it was understandable because he gave up the home run where he was in the 10th inning. There was a runner on second. He doesn't do well with a runner on second, blah, blah, blah. This one was clean. This was just a home run given up. The score was tied, but – It's just two home runs in a row. It's just not viable anymore.
Yeah, I think that, and I've said all along, let's wait and see how he's pitching at the end of the season. I know how he's pitching at the end of the season. At the end of the season, and he's not pitching well enough to close out a playoff game.
And I also think that you don't say those types of things that Dave is saying if you're not ready to move on. He's been. He's been backing him the whole time, saying like, "Oh, I like the stuff. You know, he's still our closer. He's our guy. He's already backing off of it. He's done."
Yeah, we're 2 weeks away from the playoffs.
For the Dodgers, even more.
Yeah,
because the Dodgers. Yeah, we're 2 weeks away from the end of the season, but the Dodgers are going to have a first round bye. I think the earliest the Dodgers can play is around October 10th.
They're playing October 11th.
And it's Bergman, the 11th.
The 11th. Yeah.
Is it right now that we're going to play either Atlanta or San Diego, the Atlanta-San Diego winner, I think?
As of right now, I mean, there could be some movement
there
that goes
around.
There
could be movement, but yeah, if it all stopped today, we would get the Atlanta-San Diego winner, and honestly, I would root for San Diego in that series.
I don't
want to play the Braves. The Braves are really good.
Well, you don't want to go Braves-Mets back-to-back.
Correct, yeah, that's a really tough road. Really tough road. Ireland, this Imi Adoka thing has...
Yeah, let's get into it coming up because... the Celtics had a press conference this morning with the owner and with Brad Stevens, and they didn't say anything. It is now he's officially been suspended for the entire year.
Yep.
And I just think this thing could have been handled so much better by the Celtics, but we'll get into that coming up next.
Okay, I've got a piece of evidence that suggests maybe that it's going the way it needs to go.
Okay.
That's coming up. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Jorge, is this the song you've got stuck in your head?
Yeah, that whole.
It's a good one, though. It's a good one. There are worse songs to have stuck in your head. Hey, it's Friday. I hate to say happy Friday, but happy Friday. Hashtag blessed. Actually, it is actually hashtag blessed when it's Friday. John, the Imi Adoka story is continuing to sort of unfurl. The Celtics had a press conference today. They didn't say much. They said, this is a direct quote, team leadership led to believe by both parties that the relationship was consensual, but sources said that the woman recently accused Adoka of making unwanted comments toward her, leading the team to launch a set of internal interviews.
Right, and the key word in that sentence is unwanted.
Yes.
At some point, even though it was consensual, at some point it stopped being consensual for her.
Yes.
And that's what has Adoka in trouble. I think there's way more to this story.
Me too.
Than we know about.
Yep.
And the reason I know that is Matt Barnes.
Yes.
Matt Barnes went on TV because he's
on
in
his
the
Instagram account.
He's in the media.
Yes.
So he last night he defended Imi Adoka a lot and said, hey, the punishment doesn't fit the crime here. This was a consensual affair. Really kind of how I felt yesterday until more facts came out.
Yeah.
But listen to what Matt Barnes posted on Instagram today. By the way, Jorge, did you bleep this? Okay. So this runs about a minute, but there's something going on here, and here's Matt Barnes.
They won't come out and say it. And since I'm a part of the media now, and I try not to be like everyone else, I try to, report and talk with facts and honesty. And I clearly have to say last night, without knowing all the facts, I spoke on Imi Udoka's defense. And after finding out the facts, after I spoke, I erased what I posted because this situation in Boston is deep. It's messy. It's 100 times uglier than any of us thought. And that's why I erased what I said. Some things happened that I can't condone, I can't back, and it's not my place to tell you what happened. If it ends up coming out, it ends up coming out. But that was the reason why I erased my post last night, because after I posted it, I got a call from someone who had all the details and deep. So, man, praying for everybody involved. Hope everyone gets through this. And I saw a lot of blogs picked up what I said, even though it was only on my page for like 2 minutes. So hopefully they picked this up too, for me being wrong and jumping out there without the facts. So that's where I'm going to leave it. God bless.
All right. So clearly, there's more to this story. And those who have heard the whole story understand why the Celtics did what they did. But Mace, here's my question. Mm-hmm. Didn't they do a great disservice, Boston, to the women in their organization by not being transparent as quickly as they could? The internet is an evil place.
Well, but wait, whoa. You know there has been an investigation and they've been dealing directly with whatever woman or women that are involved in this thing, right? I mean, it's not as though this came out of nowhere.
Right, here's my question. So Woj announces on Wednesday night that Ime Udoka is facing a suspension maybe for the whole year. An hour later, Shams comes out and he says it's because he had an inappropriate relationship with a Celtics staffer. Immediately, the internet, because this is what happens in 2022, went to work on every woman that works for the Celtics.
Yeah.
And people just recklessly speculating, this is her. Sending out pictures, doing different stuff. And every woman that works there automatically became a target. I don't know if the woman who had the consensual affair deserves to have her name put out there.
But I think
it was consensual. Keep that in
mind. Yeah, but then it was unwanted.
Right. But here's the thing. By not being transparent, both initially and today when they had their press conference, I think all the women who work for the Celtics now feel unsafe. I think they now are all being dragged through this.
But you don't believe they should name the woman.
I don't know. Stephen A. clearly feels like they should because it was consensual.
Yeah, I'm with Malika Andrews. I saw that confrontation today. I'm with Malika.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is it fair to the other women that work there that they're not naming names, because then all the women that work there get dragged through the mud?
Yeah, but there's first of all, there's no real good way to do this.
Right.
This is not an easy.
I agree with that.
But I think the key thing is to, anytime there is a, you know, unwanted sexual advances or whatever that is, you have to protect the identity of that woman. There's a confidentiality within any human resources department of any company that things have to be handled sort of by the book. And if releasing that woman's name, I don't think you can release the woman's name. Now, I understand the downside of this is now every single woman in the organization is somehow being blamed somewhere on Twitter for this. But I don't think you can highlight the person that's actually involved.
Even if it was consensual.
Unwanted sexual advances.
Yeah, that's where it gets tricky. Depending on how far down the rabbit hole you want to go, you can find out more about this if you want to. But in terms of how the Celtics handled it, my gut is telling me Udoka is probably done.
Yeah,
what
I
do
think
you
so
think?
Too. Yeah, I think he's done. Whatever it is, it's not, especially after hearing Matt Barnes, whatever it is sounds like it's worse than.
Well, if it's serious enough, like
thought.
The last time somebody got suspended for anything sexual in sports would probably be Leo DeRocher when he got banned for a year. I mean, can you think of another one? I mean,
Trevor Bauer?
But that's legal. That's like criminal charges.
There are no charges.
But there's civil
suits. There are no criminal charges. There's civil suits.
Right. I mean, that's
Ben Roethlisberger? Were there charges filed there? I don't think there were.
That's a good question. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it may have just been – that case may have been settled. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that may have been settled. Yeah, I mean, whatever the details are, it's obviously – there's more going on there than we were originally led to believe. Well, yesterday, I mean, in fairness,
you know, one rumor
over
I read,
and over again, the facts. You need the facts. We don't know the facts.
Right, and maybe they'll come out one day. We don't know. One rumor I read that I hope is true is that they're going to give this job to one of the assistants, but they're talking about maybe bringing Frank Vogel in as a veteran assistant on the bench, which I hope happens. I'm a huge Frank Vogel fan. I don't know if Frank wants it. I don't know if he'd want to like it, but he used to work for the Celtics in another lifetime. He knows all those guys. He's one of my favorite guys in the NBA. I'd love to see him, you know, get that opportunity if that's where they want, if they want to bring in a veteran assistant to help this guy. Frank would be perfect.
And so, a little nugget that I'm curious about. You would know. I don't. Frank still has time left on his Lakers contract.
I think my understanding is he got paid for 1 year. So if he got hired to work for the Celtics,
he wouldn't have to give that money back, or would he?
I think what they do, at least in the past, every situation is different, is they subtract what you get paid by the Celtics.
Oh, okay, got it.
So let's say the Lakers were paying him $3 million and the Celtics are paying him $500,000.
You offset that.
Right. Then the Lakers are still be on the hook for $2.5 million.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not all these teams have the money. I just would love to see Vogel get back in the league. So if that's what he wants. I know his kids are out here. He lives in California. Maybe he doesn't want it. But if he does, he's perfect. He'd be great for that.
So the new Super Bowl halftime sponsor, it's no longer Pepsi, it's Apple Music.
Right.
Paying $50 million a year for 5 years to be the official sponsor of the Super Bowl halftime show.
And I think Jay-Z is still on the committee for the NFL to decide who gets to perform.
Yeah, I think he's still on the committee. Now, here's what's interesting. I've seen Taylor Swift in concert, but I'm not, you know, any sort of Taylor Swift authority. A lot of fans have theorized that the star, Taylor Swift, is set to be the main attraction. Here's why. The league curiously dropped the news at midnight, something that's been associated with Swift for years. She puts out albums twice since 2020. They're released at midnight. She sings the word midnight hundreds of times in her tracks. Swift is also set to release a new album next month titled Midnights. She has never done a Super Bowl before. She would be a gigantic... Oh, this is interesting. So she's a Coca-Cola sponsor.
And now Pepsi's gone, that would free her up to do this.
It frees her up, yeah. And I would challenge anybody. That's probably the most cross-generational Super Bowl act that you could have. Because Clayton Kershaw says that thing. He says, if you hate Taylor Swift, you're just lying to yourself. Everybody kind of likes Taylor. Nobody really hates Taylor Swift. And then you get all those teenage girls and all the stuff that goes along with Taylor Swift. She'd be a perfect halftime show.
Yeah, normally they skew older.
Correct. And so, I think they need to skew. Well, yeah, they skewed older last year, too.
But maybe you make her one of the acts. And I also know that there's a lot of pressure on the Super Bowl committee not to make the halftime show, shall we say, lily white. I think you got to find a way to get some minority acts in there, whether it be, I don't know, these people have all done it before, but whether it be J-Lo or Shakira or Bruno Mars or Beyonce or somebody like that in a league that's 80% black. I don't think you can just have Taylor Swift. I think you gotta mix it up a little.
All right, coming up next, we're going to spin the wheel of questions. It's my wheel today. Interesting stuff on there. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. It's my wheel today, and okay. Here we go. Would you rather be stuck in an elevator or on a ski lift? In an elevator or on a ski lift?
Huh. Ski lift, because you'd be outdoors and I mean, I'd feel like I'd get a little claustrophobic in the elevator. So
but
the ski
you potentially would be cold on the ski lift?
Yeah, but you wouldn't be up there without, you know, ski clothes on, right?
Have you ever been stuck in an elevator?
Sure, yeah. I mean, not for very long, but...
Yeah, I never had a long stretch in an elevator, but for me, this is all ski lift all day. I dread the idea of being stuck in an elevator with another person or other people and then having to make small talk the entire time you're stuck in there.
Depends on how long you're stuck for. Do we have an idea of how long we're being stuck on this?
You know, it's the wheel of questions.
I know, so I'm asking you who found
Let's say you're 3 hours in an elevator, you're 3 hours on a ski lift.
All right, well, 3 hours on a ski lift, not only is it cold, even though you're wearing warm clothes, but your legs are dangling the entire time.
True.
So now,
so do you think you're going to be doing an aerobic workout in the elevator?
Well, no, but your legs are dangling, so they're gonna go to sleep and they're gonna hurt. It's gonna be painful. I think you're imagining
some things that might not happen.
Have you ever been stuck on a ski lift?
I don't ski. I never have been on a ski lift. Well, then you have no idea what you're talking about. When you're on a ski lift?
No, like, okay, so if I'm wearing a snowboard, the snowboard hangs a little bit because you only have 1 foot on it, and it hangs, and after a little while, it starts to get a little bit heavy. And if you're on there for 3 hours in the cold, and let's say it starts snowing on you, there's a lot of things that can happen on a ski lift for that long. I'd rather be in the elevator.
Jorge?
Elevator. I'll be in the elevator.
Why elevator, man? Are you right on top of each other?
No, what if I'm by myself? What if I'm by myself?
Well, I'm just, again, the hypothetical. Well, okay, let's say you're with other people. Yeah, I keep changing the hypothetical.
That's a big one. It depends. You know, if
the four of us were stuck in an elevator, who would lose their their self first?
Probably Bergman.
Yeah, I agree, Bergman.
Yeah, he would get all tense and worked up. And
I actually think it would be Mason.
Tell us to go to break.
Tell you to go to break.
Go to break. I would be the calmest of anybody.
Absolutely
in the elevator.
Not.
No, I
zero
would.
Chance.
No, you guys don't have a fundamental misunderstanding.
Oh, we do, huh?
Yes, I am very calm in a crisis. When there's an action, stop snorting.
So ridiculous.
Stop snorting. When I have been involved in crisis situations, like somebody's sick or hurt or whatever, I am very, very calm. And I'm very about making sure everything gets done right and taking care of people. I don't like freak out at the first sign of, for example, I don't freak out at the first sign of blood. Do you?
No, I'm pretty good with blood.
Yeah, see, I'm pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm calm in a crisis. Calm in a crisis. All right, so I want to. We put this in our promo yesterday, and I wanted to bring it up today.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield, the actor, who's very, very good. He was in, I think he was, Tick, Tick, Boom was his movie last year. He, for a new Martin Scorsese movie, is it Scorsese or Scorsese?
I always say Scorsese, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I'll say Scorsese because it makes you sound smart. So he went celibate for 6 months to play a monk in Martin Scorsese's new movie, Silence.
Really?
What is the longest you've ever been celibate for?
Hmm.
So pre-Lisa.
Probably when I first left Los Angeles and went to Louisiana. Took me a while.
Yeah.
To get in the groove, so to speak. I would say 3 months.
3 months. Okay. Bergman,
that's
what about you?
Guess.
When was the longest you've ever been celibate?
My entire marriage.
Oh, no.
Good answer.
So that's a couple of years.
Damn it.
That's a brutal takedown, is what that is.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Yeah. Jorge, longest you've ever been celibate for?
3 to 4 months.
3 to 4?
Pre-Brenda, right? Yeah, pre-Brenda.
Yeah, pre-Brenda, yeah, sure. And I don't think I've ever had more than, from the time I got started, at the age of, the ripe age of 16, I don't know if I've ever had 3 months without. I don't think I've ever had 3 months without. But my world's a little different.
Yes,
than your world.
Well, yeah, you should tell the U-Haul joke.
Tell the what?
Tell the U-Haul joke.
Oh, the U-Haul joke. Yeah, what do lesbians do on a second date? They rent a U-Haul. What do gay guys do on a second date? What second date?
Yeah, you guys get right to it, don't you?
Yep. There's no pretense
in our
world.
I actually think that's a good thing. I think the straight world could take a page out of your book.
Yes, I completely agree.
And why are we all wasting time? Get to it.
I read a story about a bar in England where they banned staring. You're not allowed to stare. Now, isn't courtship all about staring when you get right down to it?
Yeah, but that bar, if you go deeper, you're not allowed to do anything in that bar. You're not allowed to stare. You're not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to. It's a little pent up.
It's like a super safe space kind of bar.
Right. And it seems a little much to me. I don't think I'd want to be in that bar.
No, I think I'm going to skip that one also. Yeah. Skip that one also. So I feel really good about the Rams.
Do you? Because I'd be nervous about that game.
No, I feel really good about it because, you know, yes, they did boat race this one game last year, but for the most, that's the only game Sean McVay has lost to Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. So generally speaking, we've got their number. They were especially dead in that playoff game. Kyler Murray was terrible in that playoff game at SoFi last year. I just feel like this is a really good spot for the Rams. I feel like this is the spot where they get it in gear. Bad week one, shaky week two, settle into gear week three to get ready for the Niners. I think this is going to be a very good Sunday for the Rams. They're 3.5-point dogs, and give me 10,000 mythical dollars.
Oh, there you go.
The 3.5.
Now, you also have 15,000 on the Niners, right?
Ooh, yeah, because of Anita Marks.
Yeah, you could just surge into the lead this week.
I could, or I could be completely wiped out.
Nah, not completely wiped out. You'd be under 50K, but yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah. Well, the Raiders, you feel good about the Raiders?
Hell no. Are you
kidding?
They're
in Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee's got, I mean, they got to show up. Tennessee's got to show up this week. They've been terrible.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, this is whoever loses this game is in deep crease. I think the Raiders will probably win, but I'm a Raider fan, so I know to expect the worst. I wouldn't be shocked if Tennessee won that game, Bergman, would you?
I was talking to Jorge, say again.
Would you be shocked if Tennessee beat the Raiders in Tennessee this weekend?
Yes, I would be shocked. I think the Raiders are going to win that game.
Yeah, I think the Raiders are going to win that
game. Josh Jacobs is out, though.
Is he?
Yeah, he's not. He did not fly. He's questionable, but he did not fly to Tennessee. Does that mean Zamir White and Amir Abdullah?
I'm glad you told me that. I was going to play him.
Yeah, do not play him.
Devin Singletary, you're up.
I'm extremely shocked that you're not going to be extremely shocked if the Raiders lose that game.
Well, only because the Raiders come up with different ways to lose all the time. I mean, you saw them against the Cardinals. They were up 22-0.
Now, they lose the series. The season's over. I mean, you're 0-3 out of the box.
Yeah, it's not over.
From 0-3.
We've come back from bigger deficits than that.
I bet you historically the numbers on
one year when you and I were in San Diego, the Chargers were 0-4 and made the playoffs.
That's the exception.
Exactly.
You're going to choose the exception.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Why not? You make your point. Okay, so Bergman sent me this. Actually, Jorge sent me this last night. This is a weird stat. So ESPN has got unbelievable researchers and stats and information people and all that stuff. So listen to this.
Okay.
Since 2021, the Dolphins are undefeated against starting quarterbacks whose last names contain the letter O and have lost every game otherwise. So the comeback on Sunday kept it alive, but they play Josh Allen. Well, wait a minute. There's no O in the last name of Allen. This would predict that the Dolphins will beat Buffalo, doesn't it?
No, other way around, right?
They're undefeated against starting quarterbacks whose last name contained. Yeah, you're right. It's the other way around. They have no chance against Josh Allen.
Right, which I think most people believe
it's
anyway.
It's probably true, but who went through and checked the letters of the last name of every quarterback to come up with that stat?
It's not just last name. It's both names. Because like Josh Allen, they've beaten. So Josh is the first. The O is in the first name.
It's whose last name contains the letter
O. Oh, so this would wreck it.
No. They've already. The whole thing is, it's not the last name. It's the whole name.
Right, but
What do you mean?
But Greg, if they beat Josh Allen this week.
But they've already beat him three times.
Okay, so Josh Allen's a part of it.
O in their name.
That's when they win. And if they don't have an O, they lose.
Look at the list, Mace.
But it's only their last name. Yeah, Mace, I'm reading that directly to you. Are you disputing this?
Yes, I am. Do you see the list?
The Dolphins are undefeated against starting quarterbacks whose last names contain the letter O.
Last
names contain the letter O.
Last names.
Because they've beaten Josh Allen three times. Josh is in the O. Wait, maybe I'm looking at
the
wrong.
You're wrong. They've lost all three times.
Oh, I'm looking at
the
half.
You're looking at the list wrong, man.
I was looking at the list.
Bergman, wake up. The show has started 54 minutes ago.
By the way, Bergman told me beforehand, I don't think I got it today.
Yeah, I got nothing today.
Well, that's way better. So you're pulling a Mason? This is when Mason, right in the middle of the show, will go, this show today isn't very good.
Well, I mean, sometimes the show's not always good.
Right, but if you put that out there, you're fulfilling the prophecy. It's like what you always say about The Secret. If you declare the show is lousy, then the show's lousy. But if you don't think that, then it's not.
See, what I look for more than anything is affirmation.
Right. So what is affirming about saying the show sucks?
Afterwards, I'll say that.
Well, no, no, you say it during. Yeah, you'll go right in the middle of the show. You'll go, this show isn't very good today.
Because we'll try to wake it up, try to snap out of it.
Well, Bergman's asleep now.
Yeah, I am asleep, man. I don't know. This has been bad. But anyway, they're in the community. They're saying a very good point about you, Mace. What, Mason calmed during a crisis. Wasn't he the one that got scared at the golf tournament when it started raining?
Under the desk,
running away.
Under the desk. Yeah, that was funny.
That was for everybody else. That was for the right. kids on our promotions team who were wrestling with a tent right in front of us with spikes on it.
Yeah, that's funny. Calm in a crisis.
Calm in a crisis.
Freaked out by wind.
I know.
Freaked out by wind.
Scared by wind.
By the way, John, you should really go into the Mason and Ireland Mafia because there's funny stuff in there. Trey G writes, celibacy is the reason for the high divorce rate, especially after kids. Yes, I'm single. Yeah, no, it is. That's definitely a thing.
Well, that backs up Bergman's story that he didn't have sex the entire time he was married.
I mean, well, yeah, pretty much.
There you go.
All right. Coming
last
next,
long.
Coming up next for you, there was a kind of a public showdown on local TV.
Yeah, this goes back to what you and I always say. The hardest thing about any job is doing what your boss wants. And a local TV anchor did the opposite of what his boss wanted, and he's now out of a job. I probably shouldn't laugh, but we'll explain next.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.